Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. I'm Marzi Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, just hours after the re-election of U.S. President Barack Obama, Washington sends more drones to Yemen. Now, the pilotless aircraft attacked the outskirts of the capital, Sana'a, killing at least three people. Washington claims those killed were militants, though in Yemen, as in other countries where the U.S. sends its drones, the people are saying civilians are being killed, and enough is enough.
That was the basic demand of Yemenis when they started taking to the streets in February last year. Fed up with corruption and poor economic conditions, people demanded the fall of the regime of Ali Abdullah Saleh. The protesters also demanded the prosecution of Saleh and his allies for their role in the killing of nearly 2,000 people during the uprising. But none of those demands have been met after a year of daily demonstrations. In February 2012, the longtime ruler Ali Abdullah Saleh officially handed over power to his first deputy, Abdurrabbuh Mansour Hadi, who later became president in a single candidate vote. Saleh, in return, received immunity from prosecution for crimes he committed during his decades-long rule. All this happened under a power-sharing deal sponsored by the U.S. and the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. The deal was mainly pushed by Saudi Arabia and directly backed by its ally, the U.S. The agreement equally shared cabinet posts between the old regime's officials and some opposition groups. It also kept key military posts under the control of Saleh's allies. Having seen their demands ignored, people kept pouring onto the streets even after Saleh left Yemen for America and a new president took control of the country. Sporadic clashes have even taken place at some army units, with protesting security forces angry that former regime's officials are still holding key posts. Yemenis say nothing has actually changed since Saleh left, and they blame this on the U.S. and its allies, Israel and Saudi Arabia. They've held numerous rallies urging Washington and Riyadh to stop interfering in their country's internal affairs. Yemenis are also angry at the U.S. for its assassination drone attacks in their country. The U.S. claims that the airstrikes target militants as part of its so-called war on terror. But local Yemenis and a number of independent reports show that civilians have been the main victims. Yemenis see the attacks as a violation of their country's sovereignty and have repeatedly called on the U.S. to end them. Despite that, Washington is continuing its drone attacks. Although the U.S. seems to be making efforts to manage the crisis in Yemen in line with its interests, Yemenis say they will go ahead with street demonstrations until all the demands of their revolution are fulfilled.
Well, I'd like to welcome our guests to the program, editor-in-chief of the Yemen Post, Mr. Hakim Al-Mismari from Sana'a, and from the Middle East Center for Studies and Public Relations in Beirut, Mr. Mofid Jaber. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off in Sana'a itself. Mr. Al-Mismar, we've seen an increase in American drone attacks in Yemen this year. Why do you think that that is the case?
It's clear. There's a weak Yemeni government, and the Yemeni army is very limited when it comes to fighting Al-Qaeda or suspected terrorists. So the idea is right now that because the Yemeni government is weak, there is more cooperation with the U.S. on the war on terror. And President Hadi did make this clear that he is supporting the U.S. war on terror on Yemen and ensuring that the militants, the Al-Qaeda militants, are uprooted from the country or until they surrender. So yes, there is an escalation. Yes, there is an increase in U.S. drone strikes, but that is also mainly because of the military, which is not united, and the weak infrastructure of the Yemeni government, which is making these attacks increase and at a rate unseen before in the country.
Well, what about that, Mr. Jaber? Mr. Al-Mismari is saying that, the Yemeni government wants to see an increase in these drone attacks. However, we see almost on a daily basis, or at least weekly, the Yemeni people taking to the streets and condemning these drone attacks. So where does it lie? Does the Yemeni government actually represent the Yemeni people, or is it basically subservient to the U.S.?
Yes, as we know, the Yemeni government in its present form came largely as a result of a Saudi brokered agreement. And without the approval of the U.S. and of Saudi Arabia, there wouldn't be, a Yemeni government is largely decided in Saudi Arabia and in the U.S. So, as you know, yes, the Yemeni government is to a great extent subservient to the U.S. and to Saudi Arabia. And as we can witness by the fact that a large number of the Yemeni population does not support the stances of the government and, in fact, does oppose the drone attacks. But also, we also have to take into consideration that the drone attacks, can be, have been used to fight the Al-Qaeda insurgents in the regions, in the region. But the way that the Yemeni government has without unconditionally supported these kinds, this kind of interference on part of the U.S. shows to a large extent how the Yemeni government, which, as I said before, came as a result of a Saudi brokered agreement, is subservient to U.S. interests, and it cannot, move away from this particular line.
Well, Mr. Al-Mismari, who then have to answer to the Yemeni people as these drone attacks have increased and the United States is saying that they are killing militants, but more and more the people on the ground are saying that civilians are being killed. So where is the line drawn? Who has to answer for these attacks?
There has been increase in attacks, and according to information that we have, there has been reports of also civilians being killed. But Yemenis were in doubt of whether these strikes were conducted by the Yemeni army or by U.S. drone strikes. In the past, over the last couple of months, or in specific before September or October, the Yemen Defense Ministry would announce that they would be behind the attacks on Al-Qaeda suspects or militants. But in the end of the day, it's a U.S. drone strike. This all was clarified in October, in September, when President Hadi went to the United States and clearly said that he approves every U.S. drone strike that does take place in the country. I think that stance made those who were critical on the U.S. drone strikes a little more lenient or cautious, because it's not like in the past where the U.S. used to attack Yemeni targets and the Yemeni government would go against it or ignore the fact that they were attacked. Now it's the president who is saying that he did approve them, though, as you said, the people are not majority agreed on these attacks, especially when the suspects or those killed are not always Al-Qaeda militants. But there has been a slight shift towards the approval, a very slight shift because President Hadi did announce that he does approve the strikes that do take place.
Well let's look at that, Mr. Al-Mismari. Let's look at that. You have a president that basically had no competition in a so-called election. He was basically put in power with the Persian Gulf Council, along with the United States, but main players, United States and Saudi Arabia. How representative, then, is he really is of the people? And so when he says that he has given the okay to the United States, is it him telling the U.S. that it's okay? Or is it the U.S. telling him, basically, this is what you are to say? And what does it mean at the end for the Yemeni people?
I think Hadi has no choice right now but to accept and do what the U.S. government is telling him to do, because he is still working in a government that's fragile and very weak. His support, as Mr. Mufid said, it comes from Saudi Arabia and the U.S. So that there's no question here that he's being told what to say or has no choice but to accept what to say. But it's a different scenario right now, though I'm one of those who oppose U.S. drone strikes in Yemen. But it's a different story when the president himself is saying that he is the one approving them. And he was elected. Yes, he was a one-man election. But the idea that he did get millions of voices, and the options are limited right now in Yemen. It's not the best government, it's not the best actions, it's not the best practices, but the other options that Yemen could face could be more dangerous or even more critical for the country.
All right, what about that, Mr. Jaber? I mean, with the situation, is it basically the U.S. is the best option for Yemen at this point in time, even though the people are asking for something else? How do you see it?
Well, no, of course. Any government that should rule over Yemen should have the consent of the people. Otherwise, the people might go around revolting in the same way that they did with Ali Abdullah Saleh, because the main reason the people revolted against Ali Abdullah Saleh was to impose a government that worked along with the will of the people rather than was subservient to the interests of the U.S. And, you know, one of the main reasons, as I said, the people revolted against Ali Abdullah Saleh was, you know, on part his dealing with the Houthi rebellion in the north and his dealing with the grievances of the southern movement. So, you know, I don't think this government as it is sustainable. Any government that should, reach power in Yemen should have the allegiance and should work, according to the will of, a large part of the population. And namely should have the support of both the Houthis and the Southern Movement, as well as those who oppose any kind of U.S. interference in Yemen.
Ms. Mari, let's look overall at the sentiment in your country, in Yemen. Do you see an increased amount of anti-American sentiment growing amongst the Yemeni people?
There is an increase in anti-U.S., I could say, language, because the people right now are fed up with a government that was a puppet government and gradually becoming a puppet government this year. So people are fed up. The more increase of U.S. drone strikes, the more, in my point of view, it could hurt the country. The same way it could help the country, because these drone strikes, we know that at times they do kill civilians, but other times they do have casualties of Al-Qaeda militants. So it works both hands or both ways. We need to find ways to fight Al-Qaeda. We need to fight ways that do not harm the Al-Qaeda war in Yemen. Sometimes the drone strikes that do take place help in recruiting for Al-Qaeda because of those who are killed who have no links to Al-Qaeda, etc. So, yes, there are some mistakes, and yes, changes should be made. But again, those sides who are opposing the U.S., the Houthis, for example, or the Southern movements, they are a strength on the ground. They are very powerful. They are, the Houthis are clearly anti-American, but there's one big issue. The Houthis are not very well politically organized. So that is why they do not have a really strong say in the government, and it will help them very, very much to be involved in the politics or to have a strong say in politics if they do form a political party or they do become more organized politically and have their own vision as a political movement rather than a movement that today has hundreds of thousands of followers, in my opinion, which is a very large number, but lack the organization of a real political party or a political movement.
Well, Mr. Jaber, we still continue to see the Yemenis take to the streets. Do you think that the revolution is on track, or has it been hijacked by others?
Well, obviously, since the government that was replaced the government of Ali Abdullah Saleh was one basically of the same camp, and one, it didn't change the structure of the whole regime, because many of the former, members of the Ali Abdullah Saleh government remained in power. Basically, only Ali Abdullah Saleh was removed, but the regime as it was, one which was subservient to the interests of both the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, is still in place. So, the revolution has been hijacked, since there wasn't really a change in the power structure, rather it was only a change in the figureheads. So a new revolution might eventually take place, because you know, people cannot be fooled anymore, and you know, people will have to take it to the streets again in order to bring to power a government that you know, represents the will of the people, especially concerning you know, the subservience of the Yemeni government towards the U.S.
Well, Mr. Al-Masmari, what about that, what Mr. Jaber has just said, that the people can no longer be fooled? Do you think that the Yemeni people have reached a different level of awareness since this whole revolt or revolution has started?
Oh, yes, people are now more aware of their rights. People are now seeking change. Yes, there was slight change. Back in February, yes, President Saleh, former president, is now out of the country, out of power. But the regime is still there, as your guest said. People cannot be fooled. Yes, they are quiet now, but those opposing the current politics are still in large number. And the revolution, in my opinion, took a couple of back steps over the last couple of months because of the political tension in the country. And that, from my opinion, there is no other option for the country right now except the current path. Again, one main reason, those who are opposing the current political deal or situation are not unified or are not a powerful force on the ground when it comes to a real organized political work. So the revolution, in my opinion, could still happen again. Right now, it's taking steps backwards, but no, it's not over. And yes, there's a strong possibility that this revolution could escalate at any day.
Well, what would have to be done, Mr. Jaber, in your perspective? Do you agree with our guest in Sana'a, Mr. Al-Masmari, that the revolutionaries, parts of them, lack the leadership or the unified vision? Or what is the main problem you see in your perspective?
Well, as your guest said, the main problem is the fact that the opposition or the main opposition groups in Yemen are not organized. Mainly, there is the Houthi movement, which does you know, enjoy a great deal of popular support, but at the same time, it is not well, you know, its political objectives are not well laid out. Its organizational structure as well is not clearly, you know, in place. And this is also the case to a great extent with the Southern movement. You know, there is some sort of consensus as to what their objectives are. But, you know, there is no clearly laid out political plan. So, yes, the main problem with the Yemeni opposition is the fact that they are not well organized, and they would have to get on this path where they can, you know, organize themselves and probably form some forms of coalitions in order to topple the Yemeni government or at least make some sort of change in the government structure.
Now, Mr. Jaber, how big of a role do you see Saudi Arabia and or the United States playing in sidetracking this or trying to sidetrack this revolution?
Well, they, through their many allies inside of Yemen and in the Yemeni government, they are going to try to prevent these anti-American forces from, you know, taking power. Or yet again, they are going to try to hijack the revolution as they did with the popular revolt that, you know, removed Ali Abdullah Saleh or led to Ali Abdullah Saleh being removed from power. They might, you know, cause, you know, make military actions that would try to diminish the influence of the Houthis as they did, you know, some while back with the Saudi army when they, you know, the skirmishes that they had with the Houthi rebels in order to diminish their influence in Saada and in northern Yemen in particular, as well as they're going to try as much as possible to fight the southern movement through political means.
What do you think, Mr. Al-Masmari, at this point in time? Do you think that the Yemeni government, Mansour al-Hadi, will remain till it's supposed to be 2014, I believe, that he would step down? Or how likely do you think we're going to see more revolutionary forces becoming consolidated and either putting pressure to change at least the current form of this government or actually possibly bringing it down?
Unfortunately, and I'm not here to be pessimistic, but The revolution movements in Yemen are very, very large in number. Those who protest are still in the hundreds of thousands, some opposing the regime and some also with the regime. But the idea right now, as long as those who are opposing the current regime, as long as those who are seeking more change in the country are not unified, it doesn't matter how long they protest, or it doesn't matter how much they are, how many they are. They could be in the millions, but as long as they don't have a clear view of what they want to do, it's easy to raise slogans and to demand change, but it's very difficult to also have an agenda and say, listen, this is what we have to offer, give me a chance. This is not there yet, and as long as this is not there yet, it doesn't matter how long these revolutions do continue or how large a number they are.
Do you think the main problem then, Ms. Al-Mismari, is a leadership problem? Or what would you say is the main problem that the revolutionaries have at this point in time?
I think the main problem is not leadership, is that they're not unified. Everyone thinks that he is a leader. And you cannot work if everyone thinks that he's a leader. So this can be utilized in a positive way. But currently, if you ask the revolution keys or the youth movements, they would tell you that they are leaders. But again, you need a base. You need people who are ready to work on the ground. You need people who are willing to work behind the curtains and without seeking fame. So that's an issue here in Yemen, where everyone wants to be a leader, where no one is ready to do the ordinary work. So it's not a leadership issue. It's an issue of how we can be organized, how we can unite under one banner and work under one agenda or one goal, rather than all of us calling ourselves leaders and all of us working randomly without having a clear vision. Some of them are anti-American, as you mentioned, but again, these anti-American protests do not have a clear vision or cannot tell their followers what they want or what they will give them in return or a replacement if this current regime is changed. So this current regime, in my opinion, is currently the only option right now on the table for Yemenis. And whether you oppose it or like it, chances or the opportunities are very slim. Currently, this could change if the opposition factions in Yemen unite or work under an organized manner. But currently, that seems very, very slim.
And Mr. Jabri, your take, what is the main obstacle at this point in time for the revolutionaries?
You know, as your guest said, the opposition is not united, and they would have to organize in order for them to form a reasonable opposition to the government. The main obstacle, you know, as I said, is the fact that they are not organized, and the fact that the Yemeni government enjoys the support of the U.S. and Saudi Arabia to a large extent, and they would try to do as much as they could in order to make it so that the government does not change or that it not be replaced by one which does not suit the interests of the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and is not in line with their foreign policy.
Are you optimistic? Almost out of time, but I want to stay with you, Mr. Jabri. Are you optimistic that the revolutionaries will be able to get it together, unite, and to make the changes that they want?
Well, we would have to see whether or not they are able to actually organize themselves and try to form some sort of coalition. I hope so, but you know, I try to be as objective as possible. I would like to be optimistic. Again, it is up to the Houthi leadership as well as the Southern Movement and all of those forces that oppose the current government in Yemen to organize in order to, yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us here on News Analysis. Editor-in-Chief of Yemen Post, Mr. Hakeem Al-Mismari from Sana'a, and out of Beirut from the Middle East Center for Studies and Public Relations, Mr. Mofid Jabri. We appreciate both of you for being with us. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us. Join us right here, same time, same place, tomorrow for another look at one of tomorrow's top news stories. I'm Marzieh Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much. And goodbye.